mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Ayo's house,
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house,
Al's House, episode whatever, Ethan, Rocco, Jack, and producer Greeny with you once again. A lot to get into. The Islanders still in the basement of the Metro. Trade rumors swirling. And we're going to get into some AHL talk. Before we get into it, follow us on Twitter. I'm at EthanGSN. Rocco's at Pizza Sports Guy. Jack's at Isles Den. Greeny at eGreenberg99. The podcast page at Al's House. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, we're everywhere. Subscribe if you're a loyal listener. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, good evening. How are we?
We are feeling refreshed because I haven't watched
Islanders. There's no way that's true.
I haven't watched Islanders hockey in quite a few days, and last time I did, we got a win, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Refreshed is maybe an exaggeration, but Rocco, how are you?
Somewhat refreshed. Just a couple days off for the Isles.
Two guys lying, but that's okay.
No, I feel refreshed. Like Jack said, like we got a couple nights off from
it's
watching,
not even refreshed. You're just detoxed. You're detoxed from bad hockey.
All right, Ethan, I'll just say miserable because I know that's the answer you're looking for.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to watching the Islanders in Vegas tomorrow.
No, you're not.
I am. It's been that long.
How many lives are we going to start off the podcast with, to be honest?
Bro, you're looking forward to the first 5 minutes, and when they're down 3-0, you're going to be like, yep, I'm turning it off.
Yeah.
The Vegas Knights are on pace for 120 points versus the Islanders are on pace for 78. Yeah, you're excited for that?
Okay. Yeah, why not?
I've kind of been waiting for that one game where they play like one of these juggernaut teams, and they just look the way you think they would, but I feel like they hang in against these teams and then they play the teams like the Blackhawks and let them come back, and that's where they look piss us off the most.
They got to win that one for Leonard.
they got to win it for the Panda.
That's in Vegas, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Before we get into some topics, something very serious that I wanted to cover for the listeners, this is a tweet from very, very good, always correct insider, David Pagnotta. Not taking a random shot here, but didn't realize the Isles are last in the NHL on the power play, 11%, and last in the NHL on the PK, 64%. Double whammy, comma, dang. Thank you, David.
I was just waiting for
everyone
him
just
to
give a quick round of applause for David Pagnotta, Islanders insider, who was unaware of the historically bad pace the Islanders were on. What would we do without David Pagnotta? Just unbelievable insights, and we'd be lost without him. So thank you, David. Everyone can reply to this podcast episode. Hashtag thank you, David.
I was waiting for him to throw that face-off stat in there too and just basically say he listens to the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Like not a random shot, but literally a random shot. No.
You know, if Pagnotta was a listener and he did use that face-off stat, Give me odds on would he give us credit or would he just steal it?
He's stealing.
Okay.
He's stealing.
He's like that kind of Italian.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So he's just.
I could say that as the one on the pod. I'm the one who could say that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd label him as that Italian.
Got it. Okay.
Where we're sipping espresso at the table, being like, oh, that guy walked in. That type of guy.
Right. Yeah. With a cigarette in hand. Okay.
If we're outdoors. Yeah. Sure.
Oh. Okay, for following regulations, but
yeah, we're not like that.
No. Anyway, thank you, David, and good to know. We think that David would give credit where credit is due, and not just rip a stat. So very cool. All right, let's get into the news. I don't really feel like doing a game recap, but the big news on Islanders Twitter. Rocco, why don't you take it away since you teased that this episode was going to be some groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's just been a lot of Pettersson talk, and we had a friend of the program, Steph, report about, Isles checking in, some serious interest. You know, he wrote a previous article about, I believe, their interest in Dobson and Danny Nelson, I want to say, off the top of my head. So, you know, obviously, they wouldn't be doing their due diligence if they didn't check in. This is one of the better talents in the league. I think this is the type of guy where, if we're being realistic, 31 other teams should check in on him. He's that type of talent. So checking in isn't this big deal. But, you know, you start to think of a deal, what they could work out. And if you're the Canucks, you have to be asking for Barzal, right? Not saying they're going to get him, but that's who you begin by asking by, correct? For, correct?
Yeah, I'll go first.
You have to.
Did we discuss this last episode, or was this just a conversation between...
I think Spaces, we discussed this. Spaces.
You're right. It was in the Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm offered Elias Pettersson for Matt Barzal straight up, I'm smashing the accept button on that trade so fast your fucking head would spin. However, that is a moot point. It is never going to happen. 31 other teams are interested in a guy who's got no trade protection for himself until July. And outside of that, Matt Barzal has trade protection in his contract, so he would have to waive to go to Vancouver. I think this hometown
narrative, where he's from.
Stop it.
Jack, it's a fact.
Jack, let me finish. Jack, respectfully. Respectfully. Let me finish.
Yes.
What, the guy is out here in the Hamptons in the summer. He's dating models. He's got probably like a beautiful house here. He's not moving. Like, no one wants to go back
to
BC.
It's not a full no trade clause, by the way.
22 team, right?
It's 22, yeah.
Okay. So maybe the Canucks are...
One of 10.
Who knows? But assuming that the Canucks are not, like, again, I just don't see him waving.
I can see Pettersson waving to come here.
No, Pettersson.
Pettersson doesn't have protection.
Pettersson doesn't have protection.
I could see either way on Barzal. I could see him waving, but I could also see him saying he wants to.
If there was like if Pettersson did have to wave like months down the road, I still think he would. Only because of Bo Horvat, though. With Barzal, it's really tough to say whether he would waive or not, because Barzal is visibly frustrated with how the Islanders haven't been like a top contender in many years now. Like, he kind of wants to go to the top already, and we're constantly having these slow starts. And now, I mean, God, who knows where this team is going to end up at the end of the season and for years to come. So I think the competitive fire in him can inspire a potential move. But as Ethan said, Barzal now knows what we know about living on Long Island. I'm not sure he's going to pass that up to go to Vancouver, which I honestly know nothing about.
Well, a few things. One, I think he who shall not be named, saving you the bleep out, Greeny, leaving in the way he did, I don't think Barzal wants to leave under any circumstance. Like, things would have to be real, real bad for him to even want out. Two, if I'm the Canucks, I don't think that's enough. I'm asking Barzal plus.
But in a world right now where you have all this going on with JT Miller and Pettersson, is it not, and to put this lightly and delicate, however you want to say, they both come with a little bit of baggage, no? JT Miller and Pettersson, for the reps they're sort of creating right now in Vancouver. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I think it's fair. Both Miller and Pettersson at this very moment, value-wise, have a bit of baggage and things swirling about them that aren't
so
positive.
Yeah, but I think the baggage is much more heavier on the JT Miller side of that equation.
I 100% agree.
And given what Bo Horvat has said about how his contract negotiations with or lack thereof went with the Vancouver Canucks, if Pettersson's quote-unquote baggage is like relatively minor, I'm willing to just like let that slide.
Yeah, and you would think the team would do their research and find out every last detail. But when you take a step back, it just feels like this is the moment where Pettersson can be had for, like, typically a 1C of his caliber isn't even on the market. So the fact he's even somewhat available, I think, not like completely underwhelming, but I could see the return.
Well, what's JT Miller's trade protection?
Who the hell cares about
Greeny?
Well,
it
matters.
That's a valid point, because I think he definitely
he has
some.
Is it a full?
Green room?
Let me just pull up this contract real quick.
But again, you know, like Ethan said, the baggage, there's a reason, you know, he went away, you know, he basically got sent home from Vancouver. Like, I'm not saying who's the bad egg and who isn't, but I think in a perfect world, if they could move JT, they'd rather move JT. But
Agreed.
There's got to be, you got to think too, though.
Green room.
Not yet, Jack. He only has it starting in year five of the extension. He's only in year two.
What does he have right now?
So he has, it's a 15 team no trade list that he submits in years five through seven of the contract. He's currently in year two of the contract, so that would not apply.
So he's got a full no move.
I see a full no move on Puck.
I think it's full.
So it's a full no move until year five, it's exactly like the Pelican, the pull-up contracts, where this summer they have to submit 15 teams.
As they age, it opens up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go with what you guys said.
So then JT Miller's got all the leverage. He doesn't have to leave. He doesn't have to waive for anywhere else. And unfortunately for Elias Pettersson, he doesn't have the no trade kick in until July. So they can move him. So it is a unique situation. But let me just say this. I think this conversation is fucking dumb because I don't think that it's ever going to happen. I don't think the Islanders would even do Pettersson for Barzal straight up. I think if that was even in consideration, I think the Canucks would be asking for Barzal plus. I don't believe that the Canucks actually like Noah Dobson, and it would take more than a bunch of prospects, which the Islanders barely have, in order to get Elias Pettersson if you weren't moving Dobson and you weren't moving Barzal. I would much rather stay put here, get rid of Brock, get rid of Palmieri, ideally before the Four Nations when they're, you know, Brock's obviously going to get hurt, or before Palmieri gets hurt later in the season, get the first round pick, clear the cap space, and hear me out. What about this? What if the Islanders do a little mini Rangers rebuild here with Mitch Marner as their Artemi Panarin? They tank, they get Jimmy Hagens or one of these top five to set. Rocco, you said like anywhere in the top eight, like you're solid for this draft. So now in the system, you've got Danny Nelson, you've got Cole Eiserman, both ready to come up, not next year, but the year after. You have another super high pick in the system who may actually be ready after a year. You have a top six of Mitch Marner, Matt Barzal, Bo Horvat, Duclair, Tsiplikov, that's five right there. Maybe you're bringing up Jeffries, and you take another gap year next year, but at least you splurge on Mitch Marner. And you have a chance to rebuild the defense with some of the picks that you acquire from Brock Nelson and from Palmieri. So,
question.
Go ahead.
When you said, like, if the Canucks were asking for Barzal, you think they'd throw more? Like, what?
They would ask for more, I'm saying.
But what team has a better offer than Matt Barzal?
Like 30 others. There are
plenty of other teams.
Who are they offering? Like, you have to take out
who's the offer?
First of all, Elias Pettersson for a Matt Barzal trade is like a very, very unique situation. Very rarely are two stars just going to swap teams like that. JT Miller is over the age of 30. And if you're going to get rid of Elias Pettersson, who's what? He's 26. He's just about to start an 8-year extension with like, what is it? $11.5 million or something crazy like that.
He's paid.
If you're getting rid of a guy like that, chances are you're getting like the top four prospects in an insane system, multiple first round picks. Like, you're getting a haul for that type of player.
The thing with Vancouver, and it's constantly been their issue, it seems like they never want like full on futures. Even when we acquired Horvat from them, they flipped a pick for Hronik. They always.
That's fine. They still took the pick though.
No. But I'm saying, what to Jack's point, like, who. Like, if they want a guy now, because the rumor is they want a center. That's what Elliot Friedman said. They're looking for a C. Who has that C to dangle? Because you have to keep in mind, these teams that
are
contending.
We're not even sure that.
But would a Carolina offer Natchez? Would a Carolina offer Natchez? I don't think so.
No.
Would we offer Barzal? We wouldn't think so. So, like, there's a lot. Now.
So then you're talking a picks and prospects type deal for him.
But they wouldn't, then they probably would just try to figure it out for the rest of the season and then do something.
I don't buy that they're not interested in Dobson. Their defense is atrocious.
Dobson's atrocious.
And to Greeny's
also,
point,
fits right in.
But could Dobson excel there next to a Hughes? Like, would that help him? I'm sure it would.
He'd go from a Barzal merchant to a Hughes merchant.
It could be one of those.
But who else are you giving up in that deal? So then you're giving up Dobson. You're 100% giving up Danny Nelson. Your first round pick this year, which is going to be top 10. You're giving up probably a first round pick next year. So you basically have no farm system, no defensive prospects whatsoever. And the team is just going to be awful for the next 5 years.
It's either Dobson. If you trade Dobson, then you're giving up futures
along with
picks him. And prospects along with Dobson, or if we're doing the Barzell thing, then it's Barzell with maybe a lower level prospect or a lower draft pick. I think that's the balance.
I was looking back at Isles trades, and the one comp I think would actually be somewhat fair if there was some sort of Barzell-Pedersen swap is like the LaFontaine for Turgeon back in the day. I don't know, remember what year that was, but I was looking it up. I'm pretty sure they got swapped for one another. And it is, you know, somewhat similar in that if that's the deal, it could be that sort of thing where both teams win.
Yeah.
If they wanted to follow through on it. I don't think the Islanders would do it, to be honest. Fair or foul, I don't think. And I kind of understand it too, because if you're looking at it from the Isles perspective, like if their team ranking, like overall out of 100 was 81 and they swap him out and get Pedersen, what's their team ranking? 82, 83? Like it doesn't move the needle enough.
I think it moves it enough that it's worth an extra
$2
million.
It's an upgrade, but it's a risk. It's extra $2 million. And again, as I said, I do whether it's fair or not, I do think Pedersen's value is
okay. Fine,
lower.
but do you think they're trading for him without Bo Horvat's like, yeah, go ahead, do it. He's a good guy.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the big reasons he would come. But I also think Bo Horvat wouldn't approach management and say, I want Pedersen at the cost of Barzell.
I'm not saying that he would do that. I'm saying if you truly believe there's baggage there, they're consulting him.
No, absolutely. But does everyone have a Horvat to consult on Pedersen?
League talks.
Good point.
That's a good point. Not they don't have direct talks.
Former captain talks.
Either way, I think this is incredibly dumb. I would not do this trade right now. I'm waiting.
All right, so question for you three. What are the odds, A, he gets traded in your mind, and B, what are the odds the Islanders can make it happen?
Just Pedersen trade or Pedersen or Miller? Just Pedersen.
Just Pedersen, because I don't think JT Miller, at least for the Islanders,
he's not a target for us. No.
Exactly.
No. Go ahead, Ethan.
100% he gets traded.
Pedersen?
100%.
No, I like it's two questions. It's like, do you think
I understand.
A, he gets traded?
That was answer number one.
Yep.
Let me finish. That was answer number one. And 0%. Don't get me wrong. I think the Islanders have inquired. But again, like this is the same issue that they faced this past offseason. Like all of us know for 100% certainty that the Islanders were seriously shopping, especially for a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers. Elias Pettersson is like 10 times the player that he is. Like what they don't have what it takes. They you cannot pull this trade off if you're the Islanders. I don't believe that they could. If Lou wants to prove me wrong, I think that's classic Gen Z overvaluing the Islanders' prospects. But
I don't think it's about prospects. I think you're underrated. I think a Barzell Pedersen swap is realistic here given the circumstances.
Also think on this pod sometimes, disagree, myself included, we kind of underrate the value Dobson would have on the trade market. We kill
that
him,
too.
He drives us nuts.
Yeah.
But I do think he would have way more value than we're realizing. I really
and Barzell problem, and Barzell.
Barzell would too, but I'm just
would
saying
have value.
Barzell, but we know Barzell is our most valuable piece. If we went through the whole list of our team, I think Barzell would be the number one piece. And maybe honestly, maybe Dobson is too.
I think Dobson is just because of the age.
Number one?
I think so.
I would
just because
say,
of
if
the
he
age
wasn't,
and the position.
You're going to have
to
pay him,
though. If he wasn't due a new deal right away, I would say so. But I would say Barzell just because of the certainty of his deal. And with like a Dobson, if you acquire him, you don't know what that next deal is going to look like. But Jack, what do you think? Odds he gets traded and odds it's to the Isles.
So something that like I feel like isn't being talked about enough is so you have a star center, number one center. You cannot trade him in your division. You're not going to want to trade him in your conference. That just spikes the odds of every Eastern Conference team. The Islanders have done plenty of business with the Canucks over the last few years. They were close to getting JT Miller. Thank God they didn't, but I'd probably give it like a 30% chance right now.
Just
an
two
season Islanders.
Yeah.
An Islander, sorry.
Yeah. I think it's more possible because the desperation of getting rid of him is high as he gets closer to the no move clause. I don't think they're going to trade this guy in the conference. They're going to want him as far away as possible. So I think given that fact, and also that we've done business with Vancouver before, I think it's possible. And I do think we shit on our players so much that we forget like how other people see them. Like, if you did a poll of hockey fans on how good you think Noah Dobson is and it had no Islander fans in it, promise you the results would probably surprise us.
I don't think the in-division thing matters at all. Like, we just saw who was it
for Pettersson, though? Like, it's, I don't think it would matter
this
for
is
Miller.
Seriously, like,
but, like, would we want to trade Barzal to the Hurricanes?
I wouldn't,
bro. I mean, we just saw Gensel go to the Hurricanes with the
but that was a rental.
Gensel
and
like
Pettersson, bro.
Obviously,
no
he's
way.
Not. Obviously, he's
the
not.
Only the only team good. Would be the Rangers, I think, that they would just not do
Say
business
no.
with.
Yeah, correct. But like, again, if the offer is good enough, and obviously the expectation was Gensel would re-sign in Carolina. That didn't happen, but they tried to make that happen very, very hard. And who was it from the Sharks that went to Vegas? Was it
Hurdle? It was Hurdle.
Hurdle. Yeah, like, again, like, these type of trades happen.
That team is the team's tanking though. Like, this is different.
It doesn't matter. It's in division. What do you think is going
to
happen
but
to the Canucks
think,
if they get rid of Pettersson? More likely than
Jack's
not, they're
going to
be tanking.
To Jack's point, if the offers are even, they would obviously choose an
100%
Eastern Conference team. So
100%.
So there
I'm
is
just saying
an advantage
it's not
for
ruling.
The East.
I'm just saying not ruling it out.
Someone who does have the haul that you're talking about, Ethan, is the Red Wings. Have a ton of picks. Have a ton of prospects. And like, it comes down to what the Canucks are.
The
Eiser
plan.
And they also love the Swedes. They just like. You just
they
see Swedish guys
Swedes.
In those jerseys. It just makes sense.
The
it
only
flows.
Thing that Eiserman's actually done that I think is somewhat good is put themselves in a position to where they have the assets and cap space to take on a guy like Pettersson. Other than that, their actual product of a team is not very good. So
that's called sucking for a decade.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But I'll go for Pettersson. I'll say the odds he's traded, I'd put it like 50. I still think Miller will probably get moved and then hold on to him. And odds he's an aisle, pretty low. I mean, just because how many teams are going to go after, like a 3-5% type chance? Very low.
I think if JT Miller's moved, it's going to be like very, very...
underwhelming?
No, I think, I mean, it might be, but...
The return.
It's going to be very insightful into...
You think things will come out after that?
Oh, yes,
I don't think so.
But what I mean by that is like... Again, no one really like knows what happened, but we have to assume that JT Miller is like not a good guy.
And he's had these issues like
forever,
like a long time. Yeah,
and I think it's one of those things too. Like, you know, we think about at our jobs, like how we're different than one another. Like, think about these guys. It's like guys from the U.S., guys from Europe, guys from Canada. Like, how different a guy from like Pittsburgh versus a guy from Sweden with an age gap would be. So like their mode of thinking is probably very different, and it makes sense why they would butt heads.
Yeah, but I think it'll say a lot about the hockey GM that is currently operating in the sport. One, to be willing to take on a player like JT Miller, and also for a player like and vice versa, for a player with JT Miller's issues to win out over a young star like Pettersson because of the no move clauses and all that shit. It's, I don't know. I think that there's no winners in this situation besides maybe a team who acquires Pettersson.
I honestly think the return is going to be very underwhelming for both of them. At least that's just how I feel with NHL trades in general.
Compared to their talent.
Yeah, like we talk up what a return should look like, and then the actual trade happens, and we're all like, that's it? Why couldn't my team get involved?
What about
like,
Gensel at the last deadline? That was so underwhelming. What he
There's
got like a
even
second,
even for a rental.
A good job with it. I think the Sharks have done nice with getting
like,
returns and maybe the Flames too.
Yeah. Like the Gensel return being underwhelming is exactly why I'm nervous about Brock this year.
No, I get that. But I still think because of Brock's resume and he I mean, hopefully
but think
for
about
our sake,
this.
hopefully
like
for
I said,
our sake, he allows them to talk extension with him because that would up the value.
I agree, but still, for a guy who's a little bit older than Gensel was, and Gensel again, I think the Hurricanes
Score.
Wanted to the get yeah, the Hurricanes wanted to extend Gensel.
Right. Yeah, but we know that.
Like all of like that trade happened with all of that context, and now we're talking about a guy who's very obviously declining. He looks checked out. He doesn't play defense. He's on pace for like 50 points.
You
and
love saying his point pace. It's the best.
I love saying his. I'm addicted to his point pace. Guy hasn't scored a goal in 17 games, which is astounding.
It's ridiculous.
And
Jesus.
And people are like, oh yeah, they'll get a first for him, no problem. Like,
I do think they get a first.
I'm getting worried about it too.
They'll ask for a first. I don't know if they'll get a first.
Ask and get is different, but I do. I still do. Well, you got to keep in mind, and I always say this in regards to picks, the contenders trading a first is like pick 30, so it's almost a second round pick. Like if he goes to Colorado, we're getting like pick 30. So
again,
it's not.
I just
like,
think people are going to be severely underwhelmed by the return because of everything that I just mentioned. Like, yeah, they'll probably get a first. Well, is it going to be a first this year or next year? Who knows? Is it going to be like, I don't know exactly what to expect, but it's going to be underwhelming. I do believe that.
That's fair. But I just think, so I was looking at the trade board. Some guys were posting, reporters were posting over the last few days. You had Saravalli. I think Johnston posted one amongst others. And Saravalli, who didn't include Miller and Pettersson, had Brock as number one. So we have to keep in mind with these returns, it also depends on the market and who's available. Like, if there's no one out there like Gensel available and Brock's the top dog, it only helps us, right? If it's weak as a whole, it only helps us with palms. If there's maybe not so great center depth on the market, maybe we can dangle JG and get a nice return for him. So it very much depends on the market and if our GM is actually willing to sell, which is the biggest question of them all.
And Rocco, what about if they hold on to him before the Four Nations face-off? Like, if he performs well on the big stage when everyone's watching him, as dumb as that might actually be, because it's not an NHL game, I think some GMs will actually become a little more interested if he performs well on a bigger stage.
Yes, but that's a double-edged sword because you're letting him go and letting him risk getting hurt in very serious, probably very highly contested games. And I've been saying for a bit, I think that Four Nations tournament is going to serve as like an early trade deadline. You're going to see teams on the outs probably trying to get rid of guys before that because they don't want to deal with it. Because think a lot of these top talents, like if you have a guy that's going to play for Team Sweden and you're a team that's 10 to 12 points out, why wouldn't you trade him before that tournament?
Yeah,
well, it's again, way too risky.
But couldn't that? I feel like that could hurt the selling teams. Like if the Islanders, for instance, are desperate to get rid of Brock Nelson before the Four Nations, and a team said, "Oh, that's too bad. We're gonna wait and see," and they just like keep waiting.
No, I think Lou's gonna roll the dice.
But he'll probably roll the dice. But I think a good GM in that situation would start shopping now. This way you have multiple offers on the table, mm-hmm. and then come Four Nations.
Yeah, take it or leave it.
You take the best offer and walk away. But it's not something like a week before Four Nations, you could be like, oh, well, now he's available because we're far enough out. Like, you have to have some of these conversations now.
Yeah, but like, all of this makes perfect sense, what everyone is saying, and I totally agree. But we know who we're dealing with here.
No, of course.
So, like,
he's going to do it his way.
Exactly.
I still think the best way to set this team up for success is just sell Brock, sell Palms.
And more, maybe
Pajot.
More.
Pajot. And by the way, Rocco, I texted this to you, I think, but all the guys who put out their trade lists are fucking cowards because the easiest clickbait possible was to include Anders Lee, who's having a career year, on that list, and none of them did it, which was insanely cowardly for all the insiders, quote-unquote insiders out there. But I'm still team get rid of Brock, get rid of Palmieri, and then in the offseason, I'm getting rid of one of Pelech and Pulock, using those picks to improve the back end and throwing all my cap space at a Mitch Marner type because
one question,
I think they have
this.
An advantage there.
Do you think that there's any possibility, given the fact that like Lou is the GM, it doesn't look like that's changing. Is there any possibility that Brock is very under the table right now, getting like a little extension to stay with the Islanders?
To me, it seems like he has one foot out the door already, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like any chance in hell.
There's always a chance because it's Lou and he has that drawer, you know?
Yeah.
1%. How would ownership allow that, though? How can ownership allow that to happen?
I think it's pretty telling that prior to the season, Lou have a comment where he said, we're not talking extension with these guys right now?
Yeah.
To me, that's probably ownership saying, like, you're not extending.
Checkbook's closed.
Yeah. Checkbook's closed until further notice because they want the flexibility. And how could you blame them? Because if this is the sort of thing where it turns a gap year turns into a down year, turns into a rebuild, why would you want to have all these big contracts out? You want the flexibility. So I think Lou saying that was basically echoing the owners raining down on him, basically saying, you're not spending right now until we see what's up.
Or maybe my Lou theory is correct.
Guy Which one? Still, guy still an incredible rebuild.
One. Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Could be.
Guy thinks he's captaining a rebuild.
Another question about Nelson that I wanted to share here. So I went into the hockey reference. I did some, did a little bit of research on like team records.
Jack, real quick before. So since you're in hockey reference and you're looking at Brock Nelson, how many points does he have?
This season?
Yes, this season. Yeah.
This season?
How many is he on the all-time?
But I'll check.
Oh, you're in the all-time. Okay.
No, now I see he's got 21 points.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. 21 points. And how many games?
Yeah. 40. He's got 21 points in 40 games on pace for a whopping 42.
Wait.
It's like 43 something.
In how many games? 21 points 40. In 40 games.
So that's halfway through the season. It's basically times two.
That's okay. What I did, Rocco. But as we all know, I'm not the mathematician around here. So question for you guys. Right now, Brock has 285 goals in his Islander career. He's
a 43-point pace, by the way.
He is in seventh place because two guys are tied for fifth. Those two guys are Brent Sutter and Pat LaFontaine. He's three goals away from passing them to be fifth. Will he pass them?
Yes.
I love this, Jack.
He'll have a one-game hat trick.
I don't know, man. It's gotten tight. If you ask that question in October,
dude, he's going to score. He's going to score their second goal of the game against Vegas in a 6-2 loss. Then what's their schedule after that?
Where Utah on Saturday.
Utah Saturday. All right. So he probably scores a goal to go up 3-1 before they blow it. And then what's after that?
Then it's Ottawa at home.
Tuesday. At home. That screams JG. So no points there. What's the next game?
Next question I have. So he's three away from being fifth all time. He's 19 goals away from being fourth to catch Clark Gillies. There's no way he catches
Gillies is
him.
No shot.
I thought your question was going to be, are they going to hold on to him so he can get these records? And I would have lost my mind.
We got more. I got more here.
I did say this already with
Brock. Let's focus on Brock. I like this game.
We all know with Brock, I think I said this on the last episode, the second we trade him, the hot streak begins. We know that.
100%.
Yes, but hold on. Greeny, pull up the schedule until Four Nations.
All right, hang on.
How many games
do we have?
Because I have a lot more.
It's like a month. I think we're about a month from Four Nations, about 2 months from the deadline.
So and he's 17 scoreless in a row.
That's ridiculous, dude. He
has assists, though, right?
Yeah, he's got some assists.
There are 15 games before Four Nations.
So he needs four goals in 15 games to tie.
No, three to tie, four to pass.
Three to tie, four to pass.
There's a lot more I wanted to go into.
And there's
a lot of points.
There's a lot of home games, by the way. I feel like he performs better at home for some reason.
I agree with that. So
I'm going to say yes.
Brock has 552 points in his career. He's currently ninth on the all-time list. He's 14 behind LaFontaine for eighth, and he's 28 behind Josh Bailey for seventh.
I knew he was coming. When Jack said he had more, I knew Bailey was getting thrown in at some point.
I'd say 0% chance he's reaching the points.
Like, wait, but hang on, Ethan.
What about LaFontaine? 14 behind LaFontaine.
No, that's what I'm saying. 14
per game,
no shot.
If he gets moved before four, if he goes to the deadline, yeah.
He's on a 43-point pace.
But we wanted to catch Pat because then we'll get some nice value for him.
When they come home.
Of course, he goes on a tear, we get more.
When they come home, Ethan, the teams they're playing, Ottawa, Philly, San Jose, Columbus, Philly again. I mean, they got a ton of
run
teams.
Run starts there.
Yeah.
That's when the win streak starts and they move out of seller mode.
The next one's going to get...
I agree with Greeny. I think Lou's just going to roll the dice through Four Nations.
He's 100%. Because Lou's thing is like, when you have time, use it. And like, he doesn't get forced
I just don't want to watch USA games and be worried about Brock's health.
The next one is going to be really tight based on what Greeny just said. So Brock has 880 games played in his NHL career. He's fifth all-time in Islanders history. I feel like that's a little bit of an underrated stat, maybe one that didn't get labeled when he became fifth. But he's 20 behind Bobby Nystrom for fourth. And
So they're definitely keeping him. Post Four Nations, he's going to get the 900, 100%.
But he has no chance of becoming third all time. He's 177 games played behind
Josh Bailey.
Joshua Bailey. Okay. Jack, I'm not liking this game so much anymore.
I love
it became
this game.
The Bailey game real quick.
I love this game. My
dude, I don't know.
Great.
That schedule post Four Nations really scares me.
I'm curious if he gets to that 900th game, and I think there's a good chance. I think there's like a small chance he can catch Lafontaine.
Wait, you said that he's 20 games away from that?
He's 20 games away from 900 and tying Bob Nystrom for fourth all time in team.
Wouldn't you know the number of games until the trade deadline is 21?
No fucking way. Let's go, yep. Brock. You'll be fourth all time.
So this is going into lose mind. You know that.
My God, this is big stuff. This is big. So now we know that he's not going to get traded before the trade deadline. I uncovered
you
that.
Heard it here Four first. Nations. Heard it here first.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, ultimately though, like this is a legend, an Islanders legend that we're getting rid of. So the day it does come, it will be a sad day for some
well
of
said.
Us.
For well some, said. Well, like said. If you were to just rewind the clock, I've definitely hated Brock for a majority of his tenure.
Well, I hated pre-Barry.
I was
Brock.
Just going to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I hated pre-Barry. He was frustrating. And then I started hating Brock again last year when I wanted him traded.
He may very well just be a Barry Merchant.
Yeah, him
the Barry Merchant.
Let's not go too far with it. He was pretty damn good the last few years.
No, he's good.
I think we should have an award that we give out at the end of seasons, the Barry Trotz Merchant Award, which could also be named the Adam Pellick Award because he was dog shit before. He was great for like 3 years under Barry, and he's dog shit again. So
I think when you get a couple concussions, that hurts a little bit too.
Yeah, well, that's
a couple
fair,
of those injuries.
You know
we all get our bell wrong.
Yeah, toughen up a little bit. Yeah.
All right. The guy was an all-star under Barry Trotz. Are you fucking kidding me? Like that's insane that he was an all-star.
Barry not doing so hot.
Yeah, Barry. Yeah.
No, there's no Barry slander. I will beep out any Barry slander.
Well,
fair.
Some good deals given out by Barry that if Lou gave them out, you'd be freaking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's true. That is true.
So a little bit of a double standard from the green room.
Only for Barry. He can have a triple standard.
No, Barry deserves it. And listen, he's not doing it to us, so we could always love him.
Exactly.
Are we going to the green room now for some stats, or Jack, do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, to the green room.
All right. We got a bunch. There are actually some positive ones. There are some cool ones in here as well, like kind of some quirky stats. And then I'm also going to give, at the end, a Bridgeport update because we kind of touch on how pathetic Bridgeport is, but I kind of looked into it a little further and stats really aren't pretty. But
Jesus.
First, we'll go through some milestones. So, you know, we were talking about games played. Another Islander legend, if you wanted to eventually call him that, Anders Lee is going to play his 800th game tomorrow night if he plays. That's going to be 10th on the all-time list. So shout out to Anders. Casey Cizikas is also 1 point away from 250 points, which is 30th in Isles history. I'm kind of surprised it was that high, but that'll be good when he gets that in like 2 months.
I'm loving these positive stats, Greeny.
And this one specifically for you, Jack, because I know you really, really want a stat on Sorokin. So Ilya Sorokin is now fourth on the all-time wins list, passing Kelly Rudy with 108. He is 22 wins behind Rick DiPietro for third all-time.
Oh, I think he'll get that one.
He better not catch Ricky.
He's not going to catch him this year, probably.
He's going to catch him.
He will catch him. Absolutely.
If he doesn't catch him, it's a big problem.
What if the Canucks want a goaltender, huh? Are you guys doing that trade?
They're done with Demko.
Sorokin for Pedersen.
Oh, my God. Sorokin, please. I'd be so happy.
From just a goalie
closer
center
to Russia.
Value, you have to do that.
I'd probably do that, honestly.
6 hours closer to Russia.
Anyways, other team stats. So these are updated through the game on Sunday. So it's now the 13th time in 15 games they've allowed the opening goal. And I actually looked at their record for that. So when the Islanders do score first, they're 7-3-4. And when they allow the opening goal, they're 8-15-3.
It hasn't been as important as I said.
Well, I mean, they're seven.
Sounds pretty important.
Sounds pretty
important. They stink when they give up the
first goal.
Seven
games under 500 when they give up the first goal, and they're four games over 500 when they score the first goal.
And honestly, it should be more than four games over 500 because normal teams don't blow as many fucking leads, and they've four overtime losses in your scenario. So
we'll get to that.
Respectfully, Jack, it matters.
Yeah. So I mean, this team makes me look dumb all the time. So I'm really not fit.
They make all of us look dumb.
Yeah, it's
not special.
I think we all picked them for the playoffs.
Yeah,
dude, right behind me saying that the Hurricanes would win the division and that I thought the Rangers would have a down year, my dumbass said the Islanders would finish second in the Metro.
Yeah. Oh,
they might finish basically. Second to last.
They well, might you know, finish last.
Are they in last?
Yes, they are in back last, in last
in the
place.
Metro, yeah.
Christ.
So shout not out good. To that. On Sunday, it was actually the first time in the last 9 games the Islanders were shorthanded and didn't allow a goal. So, you know what? Shout out to the Islanders for that. They didn't allow a power play goal. Great job. It was also the third time that they didn't have a power play for an entire game this season. But that's probably a good thing because they're now 0-20 on their last 11 in the last 11 games
and
in the power play.
I think the Rangers, I don't know what the Rangers were last night, but before last night, they were 1 for their last 21.
Yeah. I mean, bad teams have bad special teams.
The power play merchants are no longer.
Exactly.
That's and wild that their power play
yeah,
fell like that.
Fell
that
off
was,
a cliff.
I think it's really all Zibanejad's confidence, to be honest.
Yeah.
And he's that sniper on their power play, and DJ now he's Micah. Just not scoring.
Yeah, and Fox hasn't been good or as good either. Yeah, I mean, it's
something's up with them. The whole morale's off with them.
And then the other stat on the power play. So if the Islanders don't score a power play goal the next time they have an opportunity, it will tie their franchise record for most games of the power play without scoring a goal from the just wonderful 2010-2011 New York Islander team when they did it for 12 games. So please just score a goal. Random stat that I found, the Islanders are 8-11-3 in their last 22 games. They are 5-0 on Saturdays, and they are 3-11-3 on every other day. And 7 of their last 8 wins have come on a Saturday or a Sunday. So they don't play well during the week, but they play well on weekends for some reason.
They don't like to fuck up our weekends.
Well,
good shift.
Anyways, there's only 2 days of the weekend.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we were talking about blowing leads before. So I was actually stunned when I saw this, but I guess I shouldn't have been. They've been tied or ahead after 2 periods in 28 of their 40 games. That's 70% of their games where they've been tied or ahead in the third period. But they've also, in the same breath, allowed their opponents to come back to win 8 times in the season, this season, including an NHL high 7 times in the third period.
Fucking crazy.
So to go back to the stat earlier about starting well, they do have plenty of games where they actually score first and then they just blow the lead going into the third period. Kind of unbelievable. And then last couple here for the win in Boston, it was only the third time they've won in their last 13 games in Boston. And weirdly enough, all 3 of the wins have been overtime winners. It was Bo Horvat, Anthony Beauvillier, and Matt Barzal in a shootout going back to 2019. And it was also the first time that the Islanders won a road game in the United States since November 1st, which was in Buffalo. They have 4 road wins since then, but they were all in Canada. So
it's crazy.
Unbelievable. And then a fun Bo Horvat stat, actually. So he is now the first Islander to score consecutive overtime game-winning goals since my guy Anthony Beauvillier back in March 2021. And he also leads the league with Leon Draisaitl for overtime goals since the start of last year. So shout out to Bo. Now on to Bridgeport.
Oh, boy.
Sad, sad Bridgeport. I was going to say Sound Tigers. The Bridgeport Islanders, who are overall 7-21-2-2, which is 18 points on the season, which puts them dead last in the Atlantic Division, 11 points behind the 7th place team. It puts them 14th in the Eastern Conference. There are only 15 teams in the conference. And 30th overall in the NHL, 30th overall in the AHL. There are 32 teams down there. Now, when you dive a little bit deeper, they're 24th in goals per game, but they're dead last in goals against. They're allowing more than 4 goals against per game. They've allowed 129 in total, which I believe is like 7 more than the next worst team. Like, they're atrocious. They have special teams problems, just like the regular Islanders do. They're 25th on the power play at 15%, and they're 31st on the penalty kill at 73%. So then you're like, everyone's listening, you're probably wondering, I don't really care about the team. How about the individual players that we care about? So sadly, their leading scorer is a guy by the name of Brian Pinno. Ethan, I believe you might have Googled him a little bit earlier. Is he any type of NHL player down the road or no?
He is 29.
So, yeah, that's probably a no.
That is a no.
Yeah, that is a hard no. He's the only player on the team that scored double-digit goals. So shout out to him.
He's their all-star.
Yeah, he is their all-star. Now, the rookie that I think we're all most excited about is Alex Jeffries. He's third on the team in scoring, 8 goals, 13 assists, 21 points. So if you're looking for a grain of salt, you know, a positive spin, I think that's pretty good. But our Italian stallion, Matt Maggio, sadly only has 3 goals on the year. 3 goals, 9 assists, 12 points. That's 7th on the team. And then William Dufour, I cannot believe what happened to this guy. I guess we just all overrated him, like from the very beginning. He's 10th on the team in scoring. He has 5 goals, 5 assists for 10 points. Everyone else,
when that guy came up, yeah, he was just so bad.
He was so bad, like,
but he didn't really get a fair shake to his defense.
No, but I think it was a game against the Bruins. Actually,
he got like one shift, and then
he was so bad.
Especially for a kid like that, your first shift, you're going to be so nervous, and then you usually settle in. They were like one shift, and then like you're out. Not even you're out. You're back. You're back on the ferry.
Yeah, like they probably sent him on the ferry like at the first intermission.
I will say with Bridgeport, I'm not saying any of these guys are top prospects or incredible, but you have to just take all the numbers with a grain of salt at this point because, you know, as Ethan said before, we hope they move Brock, Palms. But the other side to that is you could use the second half of the season, if you deal those guys, as a trial to see the Maggios, the Jeffries, maybe even the Dufours if you move a couple extra guys. See what you have just for that half season. If the season's lost anyway, you might as well see what you got in some of these guys. Because as we saw in Isaiah George, it might not tell you everything down there.
It's just sad, though. Like,
no, it's pathetic. But I'm just saying, like, it's so bad down there that I can't fault any of them.
No, you can't
100% properly
right.
Evaluate.
Yeah, anything. You can't exactly, Jack. You can't evaluate proper.
But yeah, that pretty much closes the book on the green room for today. Try to get some positive stats in there. It's so hard. It is so hard to find something good to talk about with this team. But
that's terrible.
I mean, I guess we did it. We'll continue to look for like quirky milestones as we go. And now everyone listening can root for Ilya Sorokin to pass the record, to pass the DiPietro record, just so we can hear Jack's opinion.
Yeah.
Should we get to the Q&A?
All right. Let's do that. So we actually had an extended Q&A because we put out the tweet yesterday. We got delayed by a day, so we got some more responses.
Technical difficulties in the green room.
Couple technical difficulties. All right. So the first question, this comes from Phil Jewell at @PhilJewell_81. Thoughts on trying to pry Tage Thompson out of Buffalo? 27 years old. Buffalo is turning it around soon. Could the Islanders get trade pieces? And get assets to maneuver to get Tage. I don't really understand why the Sabres would do that.
I think the issue is the Sabres are at the point where they've been rebuilding for so long that if you trade with them, they're not going to just want draft picks or prospects. They need NHL guys now. So I don't see them trading their best guy. That being said, they do have other guys that maybe the Isles should look into down the road, like a Cousins or a Bowen Byram, if they're going to trade those type of guys. Like, those are the type of guys the Isles, in my opinion, have to target in the summer, like the 23, 24, 25-year-old guys that maybe are on the outs, try to land one of them, you know, just open up this window a little bit because, you know, you have the opportunity here to trade out some old guys and you should replace them with ones who are much younger.
I'll be honest. I don't really think it fits I don't really think it fits anything right now to try and trade for him because it's going to take, like, he's not known to be available. So that's someone it's going to take an extreme haul to get. And as Ethan mentioned before, if the team isn't desperate to get rid of someone, that's where I start to question like what we have to offer. And I don't know if it would, I think it might be like 2 steps back and then 1 step forward. So I think I'd pass on that, but he is a really good player. So I don't blame you for having any interest in him.
Just don't think he fits.
I just can't
like
imagine
stylistically. I don't think he fits.
What would they eat? Like that. This is another one where you probably have to dangle Barzell to even get in the get to the table.
I was thinking about like trading for some guys that like have been known to be on the market, like off the market. Like I remember like a St. Louis reporter saying last year that they didn't think Jordan Kyrou was going to finish his contract. And I've noticed that Armstrong, their GM, he's constantly trading for defensemen. He took Broberg from Edmonton. He just traded for Fowler. So I was thinking maybe some way like you could trade Noah Dobson for Jordan Kyrou, but that's like my one like crazy trade that I think is like 1% possible.
Kyrou is one of the hashtag den guys along with Casey Mittelstadt and
huge
Morgan Frost. Like he's always mentioned.
Those three are the top three.
That's the list right now. The den guys.
It is.
Den's men, if you will.
Yeah. I think Cousins is the guy I would look at instead of Thompson. But next question here. Would you guys, or actually I should give who said it. This is from Justin at Justin6913. Would you guys want to see a sell vets buy younger players at the deadline or just full sell and then kind of leave any player acquisitions until the off season?
Definitely buy younger players. I don't want to be like completely run down of having like no talent on the roster and just relying on draft picks. I think we all know how that can go, and I don't want to take that route. So I'd much rather trade for younger talent.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, if the right guy's available, why? Like I said, if a Bowen Byram's available after you trade Brock and add a pick, sure, but the chances of that are probably slim. So I also wouldn't mind having the flexibility going into the offseason either.
100%.
If it has to be picks, it can be picks though.
Like as opposed to a young guy?
No, like if it's nothing or picks, like you got to take the picks.
For
like
sure.
Like I would rather trade than hold some of these guys if it's only, you know what I'm saying?
Like even if you're not getting the ideal package that you want, you would still rather just get something.
Yeah, like you got to trade these guys one way or another. So
yeah, you get
picks
an asset.
The only option, take them.
And the underrated asset we keep talking about is the cap space, because you're not giving Brock a new deal. You're not giving Palms a new deal. So you have all that money that opens up for someone, like Ethan just said, if a Marner's available, if he's not probably not going to be a Rantanen or even an Ehlers, you open up that space and you can throw a bag at these guys.
Absolutely. All right, next question. This is from at EJK612. Am I crazy for thinking this team's chances of making the playoffs doesn't really change if they sell? I've seen so many times key players get hurt and then they go on a run. So I can see them getting rid of a Nelson and a Palmieri and they somehow get hot and sneak into the playoffs.
I don't think it's that crazy because Brock's been that bad.
Yeah,
so I think it's crazy either. I don't think they're going to fall off. Like, I don't think they trade Brock and fall off a cliff because they're already off the cliff.
Yeah, it can't get worse.
Yeah, so.
I think it's possible that they can make the playoffs while selling. I mean, the Eastern Conference is so bad.
That's more about the conference than the Isles, though.
Yeah.
And that's sort of why I want them to sell sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Because if they start going on a run before
they'll
sell.
They'll get back in it, yeah.
Yep. We know how that's going to work. All right. Now, this is from Ryan at RJNYY0. If Brock Nelson gets traded at the trade deadline, who do you want back? And this is specifically if he gets traded to Minnesota, because I think that's the only team that
go ahead,
we've
Ethan.
Heard.
Say it.
What?
Say it.
Who do you want from Minnesota for Brock Nelson?
Who do I want from Minnesota? Could it be U.S. Junior Hero Ziv Boyum?
Tribesman as well.
Yes.
We have bagels and pizza.
We do.
And we have those who can offer.
That is very true.
Yes.
Best in the world. Yeah, I think that's a long shot, but that's what I want.
I think that's, but again, similar to what we said before about Barzell, Pettersson type thing, you got to ask, right? Like, you got to at least ask, even if you're adding something to Brock to get that kid. He's going to be a stud, but for that reason, I don't think Minnesota even thinks about moving him.
And there's like nobody on the actual Minnesota roster I would want. I think this would just all be circled around a draft pick and a prospect.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. But that's most contenders, right? Most contenders aren't plucking a guy off their current roster to hand you so they could go out and try to win a Stanley Cup. They just want to add to what they currently have.
100%.
From Minnesota specifically, I would say what Greeny said, just a pick and a prospect.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. A couple more questions here. This one's specifically for Ethan from Chad at CAYOUB1. What happens to the value of my Lucoin if Chris Lamoriello is the general manager?
Sky high, baby. Buy more.
All right. So we'll get to an actual serious question. So the Isles have 42 games. Again, this is from Chris C. Gary, 1022. I'm just off my game. Apologize. The Isles have 42 games left. 23 of those are home games. They're only 4 points out of a playoff spot. What is more likely? They sneak into the playoffs or they sell off their UFAs? Not what we want. What's more likely?
I'm still going to say sell. This is the year. This is the sell.
Yeah, I'm a selling on that.
I think it's going to happen.
And I think it's because if we're being realistic and understand the age of these UFAs to be, why would they want to be here, to be fair? Wouldn't you want to go win a cup?
Well, we talked about this last time. Brock Nelson needs to have some honor, you know, we think, and say, you know, I want to chase cups. That's what Ethan said, I think.
But there's nothing, listen, they've both been good soldiers for the Isles. There's nothing wrong with them not wanting to stay. There's nothing wrong with it. If the team would win now and they said, oh, I just want to be in city, whatever, yeah, you could get a little upset. But the team is not winning. So I can't get upset at guys that want to go chase a cup at that age.
Agreed.
Yeah, they're going to want to chase.
And they should. And I would, and if they go out west, I'll root for both of them.
Oh, absolutely. I'll root for all of their pending UFAs wherever they go, unless it's like if they go to the Hurricanes, for example.
Yeah,
or the
unless
Leafs.
It's a rival. Yeah. Like even a JG, even if they went to Florida, I would root for them, like Oposo last year.
And so this is, I just made this up on the spot. What are three teams that you would absolutely not root for a former Islander, not including the Rangers, because that's obvious?
Toronto.
Not including the Rangers. Ooh.
Carolina, Toronto.
I agree with both of those. And
I would say Tampa is my third.
Yeah, Tampa. Tampa's a good one. But even like
I'm gonna go with the Devils.
But if we're not that team. If we're not in it and Brock or Palms went to Tampa, I feel like I wouldn't care that much. Like I just
hate the Lightning to that
I hate
extent.
Them too, but it's more out of jealousy than actual true hate.
I don't really hate them. They showed the Islanders a lot of respect when they beat them, and I don't really feel like – I don't have as much animosity towards them. I really just don't like the – I don't like the Hurricanes, though.
I will say that I think the Leafs are far and away my number one after the Rangers, though, that
Me
I
too.
Like just couldn't root for them.
Yeah, I think Leafs, Hurricanes. Ethan, do you care to answer?
What was the question?
Besides the Rangers, give me three teams that if an Islander was traded to for a playoff run, you could not root for them.
Oh, the Hurricanes. I mean, I have to assume that a lot of these teams would have to be like very competitive. Yeah, I mean, Hurricanes, the Leafs. I can't pick the Rangers. I'm trying to find like an interesting answer.
You know what's one that I'd actually feel? And it's not even like a direct rival or we've never had an incident with them or anything, but I don't think I'd root for them if they went to Boston.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. And like, we can't say Florida because we all rooted for Okposo last year.
How about Vegas? Just because I don't like Vegas.
Yeah, fuck Vegas. The fucking long-term injured reserve merchants.
I wouldn't lose
an ounce. That's a good one.
I wouldn't lose a second sleep, though, either.
Vegas is my third one.
No, like, I wouldn't, like, cry about it, but I'd also be like, like, it had to be Vegas, really? Like,
yeah, an eye roll. They'd get an eye roll.
Exactly. All right, should we do one more?
Yeah.
All right, this is from Coach Jeff 24. Does Lou owe it to the fan base to address the media with like a mid-year progress report like an NFL team does on a bye week about how the season's playing out versus the expectations and maybe where the team goes from here?
I actually want that. I was talking to my dad about that. I think the fan base really deserves it because I've outlined this so many times on my Twitter account. Like, we have so many decisions to make on so many players like Nelson, Palmieri, Siplikov, Dobson, like Romanov. There's so many guys that like we have no idea what their futures are, and that's fine. You're not going to know that, but given the team struggles in the context of Lou's tenure, like we really have no idea if he's even going to survive this season. Like if this was any other organization, this guy would be on a hot seat. So I think that like ownership, the general manager, like really needs to speak to the fans to give us some sort of clarity on like at least who's making the decision here. So yes, like the fans need that right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think from a professional standpoint, they should be doing it. They should, you know, sell us on some sort of vision, whether it's lip service or not. I think they owe it to the fans. And also as a side, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for Jack and his dad's conversations, because every time Jack brings up his dad, it's like this deep breath, like, I was talking to my dad about this. And I just picture so much emotion at that table. And like,
there was such deep feeling and love for this team.
And it's just like a vent session. Like, Greeny, I know you're a Sopranos guy, like Tony and Melfi. Like, that's probably, that's how I feel about it.
I was pissed. This stupid team.
Yeah.
I'm just like sitting there, like looking at all of these guys that they have to make decisions on. And it's like, who the fuck is even making these decisions? Like, we haven't heard a word out of our general manager in quite a while. So,
did you and Papa Den see eye to eye on most things, or were there any disagreements?
For the most part, there's some things we disagree on. He's sick of Dobson, which I got him onto that wave. He's mad at us for the way we talk about Adam Pellick, by the way. We need to be nicer to Adam Pellick. My dad thinks he's got some good hockey left in the tank.
Well, Mr. Den, he stinks. I'm sorry. Ethan, again, would you like to participate?
Not particularly.
All right.
Well, he doesn't want to be offensive. All right.
So then I'll just step in and say, under normal circumstances, when the team is... when the fan base, I think, understands the direction of the team, I can kind of understand Lou's cone of silence and like not saying anything. But when, like Jack said, when there are so many questions, so many big decisions that need to be made, I think it would be nice if it doesn't even have to be Lou. It could be one of the owners. If they just came out, put out a statement, or even did a mini press conference.
We're just not telling us, guys.
No, of course not.
One of the owners. Just say Ledecky. You know, Malkin.
Yeah, Ledecky. Yeah. Well, it's like it would be Ledecky like reading a statement that was from Scott Malkin.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
All right, boys.
Okay.
Good episode.
Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at Pizza Sports Guy, at Isles Den, at eGreenberg99, at Isles House. Subscribe. And we'll be back with you guys in a week after a West Coast swing.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Isles House. In the middle of our street. Isles House.